face the fear and danger. Walk me through. When the darkness hovers near and I don't know what to do, take my hand, gentle shepherd, walk me through. Walk me through.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart, I want to see you, I want to see you, to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power in love as we sing, holy, 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 high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 you are holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 I want to sing you.
Amen. Amen. God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. Yeah. Can I'm singing? Yeah. I told Brother Rich if he come, it'd be a terrible thing that he comes Sunday and not sing. So I got him to sing. He wanted me to sing, but I told him it was his day. We ought to let him sing. So.
We need to sit down.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I'm sorry. Yes. If you don't know the rules around here, please be seated.
Yeah.
If you've not been here before, if you're a guest,
yeah,
we'll let you have your seats. I think we're all home folk here, so. But it's not like anybody else. Don't forget things, but anyway, I'm gonna sing the song number 170. I don't know if it's we do it in F or G, whichever one. 170. Let's try G.
Living below in this old sinful world, hardly a comfort can afford. Striving face temptation sore. Where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul. Them everyone, we get along in sweet accord, but when my soul needs manna from above, where could I go but to the so dear, comfort I get from God's own word. Yet when I face the chilling hand of death, where could I go but to the Lord? Oh, seeking a refuge for my soul.
me in the end. Where could I go but to the Lord? Yes, where could I go? Oh, where could I go? Seeking a refuge for my soul.
Like Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. God bless you. Thank you so much. And let's all stand and look into the scripture tonight. You know, there's times when things come against you and you have the problems this world lay on you, and you know, when the devil comes against you, where could you go but to the Lord? That He is the one that's there. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you, but He'd be with you, even in you, to the end of the world. And you know, sometimes I know y'all probably don't feel that way, but you know, personal experience, you know, there's been times in my life I wanted to give up. Wanted to quit, throw in the towel. But you know, there's something that keeps pulling you. And where could you go in those times but to the Lord? And you know what? I've never seen the time when you get so low, you don't think you get any lower. But you know, He'll come to you. And you know, you find out He was there all the time. He just waiting for you to stop whatever you were doing and get out of His way. Many times we want to do things ourselves, and we get in our own way. We get in God's way. But I'm so glad He's always there. And the hour and the day that we live, I'm so glad we have someone that we can turn to. Amen. We're blessed people tonight. So we're going to look in the scripture, look to the book of John, chapter 6. We're going to begin at verse 1, and we're going to just speak to the author. I know there's very many people have been mentioned, number of sick and many needs, but God's faithful in all things.
Amen.
And He's the one that, He said, you know, ask abundantly that your joy might be full, so. We can always go to Him. Amen. Let's just all pray before we read the scripture. Our Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we're just so thankful for, Lord, this time to be in Your house, Lord, on this Wednesday night, Lord Jesus. And Lord, You said that where there two or three are gathered in Your name, Father, You'd be there in the midst. And Father, I'm so thankful, Lord, that You follow and fulfill Your word. You honor Your word. Lord, even if we didn't feel You tonight, Lord Jesus, we know that You'd be here because You'd honor Your word. And Lord, we've come into this building, Lord, set aside, Lord, to meet with You. And Father, we've sung the songs. And Lord, we've prayed and worshiped. And Lord, now it's come the time, Lord, the most important time. Most important part, Lord, to look into Your word, Father. And so, Lord, just help me get out of the way. Anoint me, Lord, each one that's listening tonight, each one that's here, Father, we just pray that You anoint each hearer, Lord. Lord, bless each one that couldn't be here tonight. Father, for the bride that's around the world, Lord, there's so many needy and afflicted, Lord Jesus. So many on our hearts, Lord. Lord, we just see, Lord, when it looks so bad, Lord, we see these praise reports of, Lord, you've been on the scene, and Lord, we just look to those things, and Lord, the devil always wants to turn us one way or the other, but Lord, we want to look to you tonight, Lord Jesus. And Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord, Father, you know each one. We pray for our brother Jason DeMars, Lord, Father. Lord, he's been on my heart all day. Lord, we know that you'll do a mighty work in him, Lord. Lord, for each one, Lord, you've seen the uplifted hands, Lord. You know what's on each heart, what's on each mind, Lord. And Lord, so we come and gather here, Lord, to meet with you. We just pray that you just give us, Father, our portion. Lord, as the prophet said, Lord, we come to get more than our portion. Lord, let us not just be another gathering, Lord, but Lord, that you have the preeminence in the service. Bless each one. We commit all things to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. John chapter 6, beginning at verse 1. And it says, after these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his miracles, which he did on them that were diseased. And Jesus went up into a mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. When Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? But this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. And that's where I got my title from. He knew what he would do. And Philip answered him, said, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath 5 barley loaves and 2 small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down in number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. When they were filled, he said unto his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. Therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. And those men, when they had seen the miracle that Jesus did, this is of a truth, that prophet that would come into the world. And I believe that's Deuteronomy 18 is the scripture where Moses said that God would raise up a prophet like unto me. He said, when Jesus therefore perceived that they would come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain himself alone. Amen. God bless you tonight. Lord, bless the reading of the word. So, just take a little thought on he knew what he would do. God always knows what he's going to do. You know, the good thing about God is he's never been caught off guard. Never been surprised. You know, he already knows what the end from the beginning, so we don't ever have to worry about that. This is from the message, the infallible proof of the resurrection. Brother Bram says, and then what is a word is a thought expressed. When God once thought how he would make the plan of redemption and how he redeemed man by foreknowledge, knowing that some would desire it and some would be redeemed, he thought of the plan. And then when he spoke the word, it was already a finished work in heaven when God spoke it. We're taught in the Bible that Jesus was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. We understand he wasn't slain really until 4,000 years later, but when God spoke the word, it was a finished work when God spoke it. He was slain back here at the foundation of the world when God foresaw and knew what he would do, and he spoke the word. It was finished right there. And he said, and to give you a little courage, which I find amongst the American Christians, that the great lack is a fear. The American Christian seems to be afraid that God won't keep his word, afraid if you just don't squeeze and hold or something. It's nothing that you can do in the beginning. It's what God has done.
Right.
Said, you never sought God, though you thought you did, but the Bible claims you didn't. No man seeks God. His nature from the Garden of Eden proves that he's a coward and runs when he sins. It wasn't God calling, it wasn't Adam calling God.
Right.
It was God calling Adam.
Amen.
And the Bible says that you might rest assured that your names were written on the land, on the book of life. Your names who are in the body of Christ tonight was written on the book of life before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible said in Revelations. And he deceived all that dwelt upon the earth whose names were not written in the Lamb's book of life from the foundation of the world. So when the Lamb in God's great knowledge was slain here by his word at the beginning, you were slain with him when the world first began. So, you know, it gives us assurance. It's a blessing to know where we come from. And, you know, I just kept being drawn back to this scripture because, you know, it was so amazing that, you know, the multitude always followed Jesus and always wanted to know, you know, where he was at and what was going on. And you know, when he went through there and they were amazed because, you know, they had looked for a one to fulfill this scripture that Moses had prophesied and all the other ones that we had, talked about, all the different prophecies that went forth. And here he was in their midst and, you know, and all of this, you know, God is always mindful of his people.
Right, man.
And here's Jesus mindful of these people that have been going and following him all this time.
Amen.
But you know, it's amazing that there, you know, when there's three things that stand out to me in this passage of scripture. Number one is, you know, he begins to ask Philip, and has Philip looking at this multitude. And he turns to him and he said, where are we going to find bread to feed all these people? And he begins to have Philip look, and he said, he done this to prove Philip. So Philip, what are you going to look? Well, I'm going to look at this multitude. Well, how far are we from town? And the first thing that Philip does is look at the finances. 200 penny worth is not going to buy a whole lot of bread.
Yeah, right. Nope.
When you got at least 5,000 men, and you ain't even counted the women and children.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, you might get a crumb, but you ain't gonna get nothing. And so here's Philip looking at, you know, how are we gonna do this? You know, there's nothing that we have in our midst that's gonna take care of this.
Right.
But you know, he brings this up to Philip because he knew what he was gonna do.
Right.
And number two, when he begins to talk to the disciples about this situation, about feeding this multitude, if he knew all things, because if he knew the beginning from the end,
yep.
and as we were talking about, you know, all things, the whole plan, the word was from the beginning. God never had a new thought.
Nope. Amen.
So he knew what was going to take place. So when they were standing there and they were looking at this situation, then you know that Jesus already knew that Andrew was going to find that little boy's lunch. Before he even asked Philip, he knew where that little boy's lunch was.
Yep.
But he turned and Andrew went and got this little boy's lunch because the disciples were out looking. They're looking all around. And Jesus is speaking to them about the needs of the multitude. And they're turning around and looking at everything else.
Yep.
And as they were looking around, they were, you know, trying, what are we going to do? Well, then Andrew finds that little boy's lunch. Well, you know what? We found a little boy's lunch. We got five little barley loaves and two fish. And the first thing that Andrew says is, what is this among so many? We can go buy what little bread we can with the money we got, but that ain't going to do anything. We found a little boy's lunch, and that ain't going to do anything. But you know what? If they knew, if they understood the situation, they wouldn't be looking around trying to figure out, trying to solve the problem themselves. Why? Because if they had their trust, and see, if we put our trust in Jesus Christ, then we're not looking at the situation as the disciples are, but we turn to God and say, you can do it. Whatever you say. You know what? When we see Jesus doing the first miracle is when Mary comes to him and says they've run out of wine at the wedding.
Yep.
And when he stands there and she comes to him, and then she turns to the servants and the ones around him and says, whatever he says do, do it.
Yep.
You know, she didn't go nowhere else. She didn't try to come up with no idea. The first thing she done was went to Jesus.
Right.
And said, hey, this is the need. This is the problem.
Yeah. Yep.
And you know, and then Jesus is like, well, why are you coming to me? But you know, she just turned and said, listen, whatever he says, do that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, Jesus says, well, then go get the water pots and fill them full.
Amen.
And so then they began to fill the water pots full. And when they got them full, then he said, dip out and take to the governor of the feast. But see, then it's not looking and trying to figure out how we're going to solve this problem. But the first thing he does is he tells them, Jesus tells the disciples, make the men sit down. So go sit down and let's look. And when he sits down, then he begins to distribute. He took this one little boy's lunch and he begins to break. And he began to pass to the disciples, and they began to pass out.
Right.
And then when he began to pass out, then it began to multiply.
That's right. Amen.
You know, it's so great. Because, you know, that's the type of the fivefold ministry.
Amen. That's right.
Because, you know what? We're not preaching our own word. We're not preaching our own thought.
Right. Right.
No. I would be daresome to stand here and try to preach anything that I thought I could do in my own self.
Right.
And anybody that thinks they can is very ignorant and arrogant.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Right.
Because you know what? The fivefold ministry is called of God and gifted of God. So we're not trying to take the place of somebody. Because even the prophet had his position, and God gave Brother Branham a position to be in. And then when he came, he done his part. But you know, he said that God would raise up young men that would carry this and sweep this on to the coming of the Lord. You know, Brother Branham never quit ordaining ministers. So it's always been in the scripture. God never took it out of the scripture.
Right.
So you know what? That's God's divine order. That's God's divine plan. So it never did change.
Right.
So when he began to break the word, the food to them, and then he passed it on, then you know what it said? It said they ate till they were full.
Right.
The scripture says, you know, that they would eat all that they would want it. He says, as much as they would. So, you know, nobody went hungry. They ate all that they wanted.
Amen.
And when they got done, finished eating, then they picked up the fragments.
Right.
He said, don't let any of it be lost.
Right.
And they filled up 12 baskets full.
Amen.
And many times, we look at things and situations and we wonder why things are the way that they are, and you know, we get ourselves in the way. But do we just turn to God and say, listen, I don't know what you're going to do, but I know that you have the plan. It's your plan. So you know what? I'm just going to get out of your way. In the message, the rapture, Brother Branham says, if God is infinite, almighty, all-powerful, omnipresent, omniscient. Why? He knowed all things from the beginning. So he knowed. There's nothing out of cater. It's just that we, us, that thinks it is. It's everything run. Look back in His Word, see what He's doing. Then we'll have an understanding. So, you know, when things don't go the way we think they ought to go, or we wonder why, you know, it feels like sometimes it's us in the world. Yep. And when I say us, I don't mean like us as a group. I'm talking about as an individual person. Yep. When it feels like you in the world, when it feels like me in the world. When the devil likes to sit on your shoulder and talk to you and tell you you ain't got a friend in the world. And it wants to tell you how bad it is. You know, when Brother Branham, you know, was talking about when he lost his wife and he lost his daughter and going through that hard time, and Sharon Rose was dying and, you know, all that, and the devil come to talk to him and said, well, you know, you've preached how good he was. You preached that, you know, that he was a healer, and he done all these different things, and you've seen all these things take place, and now he won't hear you. But you know, he was just like Job. You know, he didn't approach him foolishly. He didn't turn his back, but you know, because he said, when I got ready to say and agree with him, then the words came to me.
Amen.
The words came to me. You know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Amen.
God gives us situations and He takes care of them. And it may not be the way we ought to see it, or, you know, but you know what? We just walk by faith.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham said, notice now another. Hey, this is from Perfect Faith. Perfect faith is a master of all circumstances. Perfect faith masters all circumstances. No matter what it is, it masters it. Now just watch. When you believe anything, do anything, you got faith in what you're doing. No matter what the circumstance is, that don't have one thing to do with it. See, it masters the circumstance. If it's in a room full of sickness and the Lord's revealed that this certain thing's going to happen, you just speak it and go on. Just don't ask any questions. It's already over. Just keep going. See, it masters all circumstances. Well, if you do this, so-and-so is going to do that. See, it's already got it mastered. See, faith believes believes that God will work it out. I don't know how He's going to do it, but He'll do it anyhow. See, it masters all circumstances. We just put our trust in Him. You know, we just put our faith in what He will do. When He spoke the word, and whatever that situation is, it'll come to pass. We don't have to try to figure it out.
Right, right.
But you know what? God will equip you in that situation to handle that situation.
Amen.
One of the stories that come to me, and I've preached on this a number of years ago, but I still sometimes you think about stories that you've read and things, and it just stirs you up sometimes. And I was thinking back to years ago, and I was thinking, I preached on a message about an expected end, an unexpected way to an expected end. Jeremiah, God told Jeremiah, he said, I know my thoughts to you. He said, of good, not of evil. He said that I will bring you to an expected end. So all the things that he had wrote to the children of Israel in the scripture, he's referring back to that, to the prophet Jeremiah, and he's telling the children of Israel, listen, I know what I've said about you, and I know what I thought about you. And he said, I'm going to bring you to this end. I'm going to bring you to this place. But you know, he began to speak. You know, he told the children of Israel, told Moses, he said, I'm going to take you to a land flowing with milk and honey. Your father Abraham walked in this land, and every place he put his foot, it was his possession.
Yeah, yeah,
And you know, God carried them over into that land and they began to see what God had done for them. But you know what? It was because of their faith. It was not God, but it was their faith that failed to take full possession of the land. They couldn't drive out the enemy. Why? Because God wasn't the one that failed them. They failed themselves. Amen. They failed to walk in the word that God had given to them, the commission that God had given to them to drive the enemy out.
Yep. Right.
Why? Because they began to become complacent in the land.
Amen.
They began to just to mingle with the people that were in the land. And they began to take on the ideas and the thoughts and everything like that, the culture of the world that they lived in.
Right.
And you know, that became a thorn in their flesh the rest of their lives. And all those years, then, you know, as they were driven out of their homeland. But you know what? That possession still belonged to the children of Israel. It still belonged to the descendants of Abraham. Why? Because the word never changed. Their situation changed. But it didn't give up. God didn't ever broke His word. And when the word came, then it came time for them to go back to that homeland. God made a way for them to go back. Back in the First World War, the Arabs had Palestine. And if you read, Mark Twain wrote a commentary on Palestine. And I read part of it the last time when I preached on it. And Just how horrible it was, how pathetic, and when you read the Old Testament and you think about a land flowing with milk and honey and all these things, and then when you see Palestine, it's like, there's no way that land is what God wrote about. It's an absolute wasteland. Nobody would want that. But you know, in the First World War, they were Jews. They took everything that they had, everything that they could scrape up, and they went over there. And they wanted to buy part of that land. And you know, the Arabs, the only thing that the Arabs would sell them over there was worthless, just barren wasteland that nobody else would want. And they sold it to them for over three times the value of the land. And the Arabs laughed all the way to the bank, said, We just got over on all these Jews. Look, we took all their money. Them Jews were standing there saying, them Arabs don't understand. Said we were willing to pay 10 times the value of the land.
Yeah, right.
Why? Because those Jews, when they went over there and they saw that land, and they had never walked in that land before. But when they began to walk in that land, do you know that was the land that their father Abraham had walked on? And that was the first time the Jews had stepped on that? That was promised to them. God promised that to them.
Amen.
And there was no price too great that they wouldn't pay to walk on that land. To walk in that and take possession of it. And it was this swampy land, and it was just so poor. And those people went over there and took this land, and they were so happy and so thrilled, and nobody else could see what they were excited about. But they saw the promise of God. But nobody else saw that. When those people were out there, they didn't have any equipment. They got out there with hand tools, hand shovels, and dug ditches, and done everything. And they got the water flowing so it wouldn't be stale. And every one of them standing out there with malaria. And I thought, these people have lost their minds. Every one of them's almost dead, and every day they'd get up. They're elderly people. They could barely walk, but you know what? They said, this is our land. This is God's promise to me. And got out there digging. But you know, that was the first time that they had Jews in Palestine at that time that they had actually taken possession of part of that land. And you know, everybody else said, man, those people are kooks. But you know what? There was something that was stirring up inside those people that this was the fulfillment of God's word.
Amen.
And those people hung on. and being ridiculed and scorned and all of the things that they had to face all time through that time, up until the time that the British carved out a piece of land for the Jews after World War II, when they divided the land and they cut off the portion there and they said, this is Palestine, we're giving this to the Jews. And God began to tell the Jews, hey, you can come home, because after the Second World War, they did not have a homeland. Europe didn't want them. Everybody, you know, even America only could take so many, and they didn't want the rest of them. There's no place for them to go. But God was fulfilling His word. He cut off that portion of land over there, and He began to send those people there. And those people didn't want to get on planes, as Brother Ram talked about. They didn't want to get on planes. They didn't want to do anything. But he said, listen, he said, our prophets have told us. He said, we're going to go home on the wings of eagles. When they said, are you going home to die? I said, no, I'm going home to see the Messiah. Why? Because they were rejoicing in what they saw. Nobody else saw that. Nobody else could believe that. But they went over there and began to take this waste land, this barren land. And when nobody else could do anything with it, why? Because they were walking in the Word of God. And all of a sudden now, you know, they've been able to turn that place into a lush garden in the middle of nowhere. Of all the things that they've been able to do. But you know, they saw something nobody else saw. They didn't see the wasteland and all those problems and everything like that. They went home to see the Messiah. And many times, you know, if we face the Word and we see the Word, and you know, Brother Ram said, don't let the Word become common to us. But you know, sometimes we can do that. We can be just like that. We can hear the Word of God and see it. And you know, and when the situation looks bad and it doesn't line up the way we want it to and everything like that, but we don't look and say, this is where God's going to meet us. This is where God's going to bless us. We don't see like they saw. But you know what? They began to look and see this is what God had promised them. And nobody else is going to see it. The world's not going to see this. But it's only to a chosen few. It's not to the world. There's many people that, you know, no wonder people have left this message. Why? Because it's the time. It's the time of the falling away. They walked in this for so long, but now it's time to leave. Why? Because they don't see the beauty in it. Why? Because Isaiah said when he was speaking of Jesus, he said there was no beauty that they should desire him. Well, they don't see no beauty. They just see this ugly. They just see the hinder parts of the people. They just see the ugliness of the Word. They don't see the beauty. As Brother Branham was telling the story about the young girl that, you know, her mother had sent her off to school, and you know, she was riding the train back home. When she pulled in, there her mother was that had been burnt in the fire. And, you know, the girls were making ridicule and saying, who is this ugly woman? You know, it embarrassed that girl. She became embarrassed by the way her mother looked. But, you know, when she got off the train, her mother come to hug her and greet her. And, you know, she just ignored her mother like she didn't know who she was. But said the conductor on the train got a hold of that girl and told her, said, listen, said, I want you to know something. Said, I remember when your mother was way much beautiful than you are. But she had love for you. Instead of letting you die in that house fire, she stripped her clothes off and ran through the fire to get you out. And said, it may not look beautiful to the world, but you ought to have love and honor, respect for your mother for what she's done for you. You know what? As Paul said, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. Why? Because he knew where he come from. He knew what he had been through. And just like that girl, you know, she become embarrassed by the things that her mother was. But when you begin to look what she done, and the world's not going to desire Jesus. They're not going to desire the word. But you know, when you begin to look to see where I was once lost, but now I'm found.
Amen. Right.
When you begin to see where you come from,
yes.
And you know where you are today,
yes.
And what God has done for you, then when you come back and say, well, I don't care if nobody else likes it. It doesn't have to please anybody else.
Amen.
I know where I come from. I know what He's done for me.
Amen.
I don't have to satisfy the world. It's just a fellowship between, it's just communion between me and God. I'm not worried about what the world says.
Amen.
You know, we'll start being like Brother Bob up here. But I tell you what, it feels good. This is from the message, what it takes to overcome all unbelief. Brother Bram's talking about the apple trees, and he says, every apple that's ever been in that trees, he said, is in it right then. Certainly is. If it doesn't, where does it come from? It's in the tree. He said, and you plant the tree in the ground, you irrigate it, you put water on it. What does that little tree do? He said, it grows. And why? How it grows, it drinks. It draws from the water. Draws from the earth water. It draws more than its portion. More than enough to fill it. It draws just so much until it pushes out limbs and branches of apples, then goes down and hides through the wintertime, keeps the sap from being killed in the tree. What intelligence runs it down into the ground and hides it through the winter? He said, put a water in a tin cup, set on the fence, see if it'll go down when the wintertime comes. Certainly it won't. Some intelligence runs it down. That same intelligence that runs the water in there is the same Spirit of God that's brought us together for this convention. The same Spirit that's bringing us together here under the heavenly places in Christ Jesus to find His goodness and mercy for the hours that lay ahead of us.
Amen.
Oh, He's real. God is.
Amen.
So He's brought us to this place. Why? Because now's the time of the filling.
Amen.
The time of refreshing. You know, I mean, every church service is the time to come in and get all that you can and fill up. He said, we find out this little tree, it pushes out. When it grows, it pushes out. And when you are born into the kingdom of God, just a little baby in Christ, everything that you have need of in this life's journey is in you when you receive the Holy Ghost. Oh, then what do you have to do is drink and drink and keep on drinking. Don't just stop when you join church and are baptized. Just keep drinking until you have faith for this and faith for that and faith for this, and push out until all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit is living in the church. He says, and a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He said, how are we planted? We're planted in Christ Jesus. Now I believe just in my estimation of Him, He's the inexhaustible fountain of life that you cannot exhaust His goodness. Some people think, oh, I hate to call on God so much. That's what He wants you to do. You have not because you ask not. You ask not because you believe not. Ask abundantly that your joys might be full. That's what God wants. Ask big things. So when God has called us to this place, God's called us to this word, then it's our time to get what we have need of.
Amen.
To drink. And He said He's an inexhaustible fountain. So then we just continue to drink and take in all that we can. As He said, get more than your portion. Get more than enough.
Yep.
Because, you know, when we see these situations come, just like the disciples, you know, they're looking at the situation. Well, you know what? God's in the situation. We turn to God and we can find what we have need of, that He can give us everything that we have need of. That we can, He said, keep drinking until all the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are made known. So how do you grow? You keep drinking.
Amen.
Then you keep drinking. You know, you just keep fighting the battle. You keep pressing in. Because the battle, He said, the kingdom of God is taken by force. So then what you do, you just keep on fighting.
Amen.
And you keep on pulling. You know, even the tree, when He's talking about that tree that's down in the roots. And you know, even in the wintertime. And I didn't know this. And Wade said, I can't believe you didn't know that. Well, I didn't know that. Praise the Lord. But you know, even when the life goes down in the roots, you know that life is in there in the summertime. Now the root, you know, the life goes up into the tree and it's the leaves and the fruit and all those type things. But when it goes down in the wintertime and it goes down into the root system, you know, the roots never quit growing. You know what? Even in the wintertime, when we say, well, that tree's dead, well, it's dormant. Why? Because we don't see anything. But we don't recognize that there's growth taking place. If we could dig down into the ground, down in those roots, when it gets below the frost line and the ground is still warm and there's moisture down there, then you know those roots are still going. They're still going. And it's still reaching out. And many times we look in our lives and we say, well, it's a dead season. We're just in this lull or whatever. And it's just like, you know, everything is so hard and we don't see. But you know, one time when we look back in our lives, when we go through these hard spells, these dry spells, all these things that happen to us and we wonder why things are going, many times when we look back, then we recognize that we've grown through that time. We didn't see it looking forward, but when we look back, you know, we've grown through those times. Well, we don't recognize the growth that takes place. You know, it's just like your kids, when you watch your kids grow up. You know, we just see them and all of a sudden, one day, you know, they walk past us, you know. I mean, you know, one time they're all the time like this. Next thing you know, they're like this. And then all of a sudden they block your vision when they walk past. And it's like, come here. Why? Because when you see them every day and they just keep on growing, you don't recognize the growth. One day you buy them shoes. And you buy shoes and it's like, you know, you got these shoes and before they wear them out, they're already outgrown them. And it's like, do they put Miracle-Gro in the shoe? It's like they put them on and the toe grows to the end of them. And it's like, you don't see the growth, but all of a sudden, then there's the proof. And it's the same way. We don't see the growth taking place, but you know what? Many times in our lives, we're wondering why things are the way they are. And you know what? Many times, we're waiting for God, and then God will take us to a place and look back. It's like, well, you know what? We have grown.
Amen.
Many times we don't think that we had, you know, we've overcome things or different things. And you know, we've had, you know, you see different things in your life that's happened and you look back and it's like, I've overcome that. And you think, well, thank God. God's helped me through that.
Amen.
Because then we see the growth that's taking place. See, God knows what He's going to do. Sometimes He wants us to see what we're going to do.
Amen.
Many times, He says we walk by faith and not by sight. And many times that's the problem. We're walking by sight. We see the things around us, and sometimes by looking at the things around us and not looking at the Word, we don't see what God has done and where we're at. This is from the Patmos vision. Brother Branham says, oh, you say you don't feel any difference, though. He said, Jesus wasn't born when God slayed him before the foundation of the world. When he was the Lamb of God slain before the foundation of the world. But in God's own mind, he was already done. I wasn't here then, neither was you. But in God's book, if our names was ever on there, it was put on before the foundation of the world. When God says anything, it has to take place. So when you meet God's qualifications, just remember God will manifest himself and take care of the rest of it. You just go ahead. It is a finished work. Oh, isn't that wonderful? Oh, I think just tell God, and God said, you do this and I'll do this. Well, if I do this, he's got to do that. So when God brings us, you know, when we say, well, we don't see any difference. Well, people coming in the prayer line, it's like, well, you know, I don't feel any different. Well, your feelings don't matter. He said, you know, if he calls your name, when Brother Branham was in the discernment line, you know, he would catch people and say, oh, sir, you didn't believe, you didn't know that you had that much faith. But God's speaking to you. And you're healed. Or people would come across the platform and he would lay hands on them. And there were times that he wouldn't even pray for them. He would just lay hands on them. Well, because the scripture, he said, if you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. He didn't say you had to pray. He just said, lay hands on them. So when they passed by, Brother Branham just laid hands on them. And he would speak to them and he would ask them. He said, do you believe me to be God's servant? Do you believe the word that I've spoke tonight? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is here?
Yeah, right.
Do you believe that he'll heal you? He'll deliver you?
That's right. Amen.
And you know, they begin to say, yes, yes, yes. He said, by your own confession, he said, go and receive your healing.
Yeah.
Right. So it wasn't that he had to do anything, but he had to get the people to believe and to see and focus on one thing. And he said, when they began to see that, then he has. And then there were times when he talked about how full the building was, just full of faith. You could just see it throughout the building. He said, just stand to your feet and claim it. You accept your healing. He said, you don't have to have anybody pray for you or do anything. He said, you can just stand up and claim it. And so here he is, well, I don't feel any, well, that has nothing to do with it. If God began to speak to you and say, this is what I want to give you. When he begins to speak, just not only is it divine healing, but whatever you have need of. And when he said, add to your faith virtue. Well, you know, when God begins to speak to you, then you accept what he has to say. Then you know what? It's just the same thing. It's the same faith. It's the same process.
Amen.
That when you begin to accept the word, receive the word, he said, when you receive the word, then you become the word.
Amen.
Then you begin to walk in the word.
Yes.
And it's the same process. It's not some one way of doing one thing and one way doing something else. No, it's the same way. God works the same way every single time.
Amen.
So if God ever had anything that he wanted to give you, then you know what? You'd claim it the same way.
Amen.
He said, if you meet God's qualifications, you just believe and walk.
Right.
And say, Lord, don't let me have any stumbling blocks in my way.
Yes, Lord,
let me get everything out of the way. Let me clear the way. Let me clear the path. Lord, let me clean out the flues. Let me get everything out of the way, Lord, that you can come speak to me. Lord, that I can come on the same grounds, the same qualifications that others have come, that I can receive the same thing. God, because you, by your word, you've come and you told us, Lord, to come up this stature of a perfect man and to add to our faith virtue and to virtue knowledge and knowledge temperance and come on up the ladder. Well then Lord, let us just continue, let us grow that we walk up that ladder.
Amen.
That you become molded in our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, that we're molded into your image.
Amen.
Lord, that the world can see.
Amen.
Jesus Christ in us. But he said, you just go ahead. He said, why? Because he said, it's finished. He said, so he'll take care of the rest of it. But there's a part you got to play. There's a part you got to do. He said, I will take the rest. I'll take care of the rest.
That's right.
But if we will do what God wants us to do, do the same thing. Take God at His word. Follow the pattern. If we follow the pattern, then you know what? God will bring to pass His word.
Amen.
You know, Brother Branham, this is from Watchman Watt of the Night. And Brother Branham, it's the story of Brother Branham talking about the little boy, the little baby that had cancer, and they had to wrap the towel around his head. And you know, the nurse had to clean out the breathing tube and all that. And you know, Brother Branham's heart was broken. And he's standing there and he says, he said, I thought, Jesus, do you mean you get pleasure out of seeing that? He said, I can't believe it. I just can't believe it. You get glory out of that little baby suffering like that. It just can't be. If it makes me a sinner feel like I do to that baby, what would it do to you, the resource of all mercy? What must you do? And I had no words yet. And we skipped down. And he says, and I looked down to this little fella and I thought, Lord, what would you do if you were standing here? Now I realize that I'm in the pulpit and I realize that God is present, but it seemed to me that something spoke down in my soul and he said, I'm waiting to see what you're going to do about it. I gave my authority to the church and there you come back again to say to this mountain. I gave my authority to the church and I'm waiting to see what you're going to do. I wonder if that's his attitude toward us all the time, that he's waiting to see what we're going to do. What about the signs of the time we've just been preaching about? What would he do? He's waiting to see what we'll do. He said, well, I got this little baby hand in mine just in my fingers like that. It was so little. And I said, Lord, hear the prayer of your servant, and by faith that I believe that you are, I place between this demon of cancer and this baby's life the blood of Jesus Christ, between the killer and the baby, the blood, by faith I place that, and I couldn't say nothing else. And you know, Brother Brown walked out of that room, and it wasn't long right after that, you know, they come and told him, said, you know, he's healed. But you know, there was God speaking to the prophet and saying, I wonder what you're going to do about it. We always wonder what God's going to do about it. Well, what is you? And he said, sometimes that's what it looks like. God is waiting on us to do something. Well, sometimes, you know, have we ever asked God, what do you want me to do? What should I do? What is my responsibility? Lord, what is it that's my part to do? You know, when Abraham went to get a bride for Isaac and he sent Eliezer into the homeland to get a bride, you know, then he swore to Eliezer, you know, he said, listen, he said, you go and do and the Lord will lead you. He said, but if you don't find one, he said, you're free of this oath.
That's right.
But you know, he said, Lord, he said, my father Abraham, my master has sent me. He said, Lord, I'm going down in here. He said, lead me. Show me the way that I need to go. And when he went down in there, he said, Lord, the one that I meet at the well, he said, let her be the one. And then she'll offer to water the camels.
Amen.
And when he walked up there, then Rebecca began to speak to him and said, well, let me draw the water for you and let me water the camels and all that. And he began to converse and all these things. And he began to tell Rebecca all about Isaac and all the things that took place. And, you know, she received the word and she had to go talk to her father and her mother and her brother and the family. And, you know, they had to go through all that. But, you know, she received that word and she believed it. And she said, I'm going. This is my calling.
Amen.
You know, and then she received the gifts that Isaac had sent by the prophet to her. And she received those. And all along this dangerous journey back to the land, but you know what? She followed and she listened to what Eleazar had to tell her. And she listened and she began to understand all about Isaac. But you know what? The camels done it. Brother Benham said that was the power of God bringing them. But that, you know, that was only a part of what was to take place. But you know what? When she got close enough and she saw Isaac in the field, you know, she didn't just sit on the camels and wait, you can just drop me off right here. When she saw him in the distance, she didn't wait for the camels to bring her all the way. When she began to see who was before her, because the word had been preached to her so much that she recognized Isaac standing in the field. Well, then you know what? She took the bracelets and the gifts that she was given, and she put a veil on her face, and she took the gifts that were given to her, and you know what? And she went and met him in the field. Why? Because, so, you know, God done his part and brought Eleazar up, and the word has been given. But you know what? It's time, because the scripture tells us, he said to rejoice. He said because the bride has made herself ready. So when she prepared herself, then she went to meet Isaac, to meet the bridegroom. So the thing is, you know, you and I have a responsibility to prepare ourselves for the bridegroom. There's a part that we must play, that we must go do. It's like, what are you going to do, Lord? Well, what are you going to do? What is God calling us to do? That's what God is asking. You know, because if all that God was, he poured into Christ. And he poured into the church. He poured into the believers.
Amen.
Then you know what? Then we're to be nothing less than Jesus Christ. Then we're supposed to be nothing less than completely dressed, robed in his righteousness. Prepared. Then that's what God has for us to do, is to prepare ourselves to do what he wants, because he's already known what he's going to do. The question is what you and I are going to do. What are we doing? What are we doing with the time that we have? What are we doing with the things that God has given us? Let's not get things out of cater. Let's not get things out of place. You know, Jesus there, when he fed the 5,000 and they collected all of those fragments and they gathered up all of those 12 baskets.
Yep.
Then the scripture says that those men that had seen that, had seen the miracles, had seen the food being distributed, all those things, then they turned around and said, surely this is the one that the prophet spoke about that would come. But you know what? They tried to get him out of his place. Because Jesus didn't come to set up a kingdom, but that's what the scripture says. They were waiting to come and grab Jesus to set up a king because they were going to make him their king. And when he saw what they were going to do, then he left. He departed out of their midst. And brothers and sisters, you know, that's the time when Brother Bram said, you know, there are things that we should do and we shouldn't do. We shouldn't misconstrue the word. We shouldn't get things out of place. So the Spirit in us that has been given to us is given to us for us to rightly divide the Word.
Amen.
So in the time of this world that we live in, all the confusion and all of the chaos and all these things, but there is one that is still leading us. That is leading us the right way.
Amen.
That's going to bring us to the proper place. Bring us all the way. He knows what he's going to do. The question is, do you know what you're going to do? Do you know what to do? That's the question. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand, have the musicians come. Amen. Amen. It's a glorious day that we live in.
Amen.
Amen. We're so blessed.
Turn with me to 7:05.
Amen. Amen.
Because you're all on the altar, see Nephi.
Amen. Amen.
You have longed for sweet peace and for faith to increase, and have earnestly, fervently prayed. But you cannot have rest or be perfectly blessed until all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? And sweet rest as you yield in your body and soul. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His Word and have peace and contentment always? You must do sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar you're all you must lay. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? And have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Oh, we never can know what the Lord will bestow of the blessings for which we have prayed. Till our body and soul He doth fully control, and our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul. Who can tell all the love He will send from above, and how happy our hearts will be made. Of the fellowship sweet we shall share at His feet, when our all on the altar is laid. Is your all on the altar of sacrifice laid? Your heart, does the Spirit control? You can only be blessed and have peace and sweet rest as you yield Him your body and soul.
You know, I think of the story that Brother Branham tells about the lady that had, he was poor, and she said, you know, welfare had to come check on her, find out what her situation was. And they said, you know, she had a son that had sent her those little pretty pictures, as she said, the prettiest pictures. But you know, she needed somebody to come. It's like, because you know, she was starving to death and she was so needy. But somebody come to check on her and said, well, can we see those pretty pictures? And she went and got her Bible and she opened them up and started pulling out these pretty pictures. And you know, when they showed him, he said, what were they? He said, they were bank drafts. And her son was in India and had converted all that money over and sent her all that stuff. But she didn't recognize what she had. What was so amazing is, you know, they asked her, said, you hear from your son. It's like, well, if your son loved you and you had a need, it would seem like he would take care of you. And she's like, well, I'm so embarrassed to ask him. Oh, I don't want to ask him. Well, you know what? If she'd have went to her son and contacted him, yeah. It's like, I got a need. It's like, Mama, all them cards, them pretty pictures, they're bank drafts. That's money. Yeah. But she didn't go and ask him what that was. True. Somebody had to come and ask her and to help her. Because somebody had to get to her. She didn't ask for help. Somebody had to come and realize, hey, they have a problem. She has a need. We got to go help her. And she had everything that she had need of. She just didn't realize what she had. And many times we get in our own way. But as you're all on the altar tonight. Because, you know, it's a sacrifice. And like she felt a little embarrassed. But don't let any of those things get in the way. You know, because one of these days you're going to stand before a God to give an account for those things. And standing before your brothers and sisters or walking down the aisle or doing whatever. That pales in comparison. Whatever it has need, whatever it is. As Brother Branham said, you know, if we had come in here with the wrong spirit, the wrong attitude, we can hinder the service. Something can take place in this building tonight. He said it could hinder the next service. It's like, I don't want to have to stand up and give an account that I was the one that caused the problem. I don't want to be the one to have to stand up and give an account that somebody didn't get their healing because of me.
Amen.
But you know what? He's brought all this to us. That I can receive what we have need of. He's standing here and he calls out to us. Every single day God's speaking to us.
Yeah, amen.
So I just want to be on the altar. My all to be on the altar.
Amen.
Not to be a hindrance to anybody, but
amen.
To be a help. So God bless you tonight as we go. Do you have anything? Alrighty. Well, just remember each one and, Brother Wade will be preaching Sunday. And, I do have one thought and if I'm out of order, y'all, I'm gonna apologize, but I did have something come to me. It was good to see Brother Dale behind the pulpit Sunday.